Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The top text right now on the text line, 913-576-7610. That's the text line and the phone number to call in. They're all joined into the same. Hey, CDOT, don't end the week with phone calls. I'm going to be completely honest and transparent with you guys. My team is good. I know what conference my team is in. I'm not worried about what conference my team is in. I'm sitting pretty over here. Some of you guys, your team look Mountain West ready. Your team looks whack ready. Now, if you cheer for KU, I don't think I'd be too worried about it. Your basketball program is such an entity. And also, I would say that Kansas is, as much as it pains me to say, Kansas is probably Kansas City's team in terms of college. Biggest alumni base, largest fan group. There's probably more Kansas fans in Kansas City than there are Missouri fans, and certainly more than K-State fans. So KU's probably going to be fine. I think they go to the Big Ten. I wouldn't be surprised if they go to the Pac-12. I don't really think there's another conference that makes sense for them. Like, I think they're going to be fine. For those of you that cheer for K-State, I'd be very concerned about your league and about where you're going to go. Right now, you matter. It's that simple. You are in the club. You matter. You're not Texas, you're not Oklahoma, you're not Alabama or Ohio State or Clemson. But every year you start the season with a chance to do something special because you're in the Big 12, because you're in the huddle, you're in the club. Missouri's probably not ever going to win the SEC. They might not ever really be relevant in the SEC. But at the start of every season, they matter. They got a chance. You got a chance to exceed expectations. You got a chance to get that right recruiting class to really give yourself an opportunity to do something special. If you're K-State, how you play the next 12 months is really important because you can go from being inside the huddle to outside the huddle very quickly. You can go from being a member of the Big 12 to being in the WAC. Nobody cares about the WAC. Nobody watches the WAC. Nobody knows what teams are in the WAC. We don't pay attention to the WAC. That is very much in danger of happening. This isn't me dancing on the grave of K-State fans. I got no issues with K-State. I love Manhattan. Fantastic time. But that's what's at stake here. That's what's always been at stake. Maybe this is the Missouri fan that's sort of dancing on the grave a little bit and saying that I told you so. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Rob, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. One of you have met your homeboy's girlfriend before. And you got a vibe very early on from her that she was like, bro, she weird. Yeah, man, I don't think that's going to last. Your boy got mad.
Dog, why you hating? You was mad you ain't got a girl.
We've all been in those conversations. She's like, bro, I mean, you know, you my guy. You know I love you, but she kind of weird, bro. Your boy was adamant that wasn't the case. Missouri fans, Nebraska fans, A&M fans have told you for the longest this was going to happen. We knew what was going to happen. We saw it was going to happen. And it's now happening to you. And you don't have the entity that Kansas does to save you. Kansas is going to be fine. They have arguably the best basketball program in college. That's a valuable asset to have if you're the Big Ten. That you can then say, we have the premier basketball conference with Kansas, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin. We'll put our teams up against any other league, and we feel like we're better. K-State, you ain't really got nothing to lean on. You ain't really got nothing to lean on here. So I'd be worried if I'm a K-State fan. I'd be terrified if I'm a K-State fan about what the next 12 months looks like in the landscape, especially if this is the plan. So we had Brett McMurphy on from Stadium. We'll take your phone calls coming up in a little bit, 913-576-7610. Listen to what Brett McMurphy had to say.
But actually, one conference source told me today, he said, hey, don't be surprised if they just stay at eight schools. Yeah, let's get out the old Big Eight logos. Because, again, the television rights divided by eight schools would be more money than the television rights divided by 12 schools if those four additional schools are teams like Cincinnati, BYU, Houston, UCF.
That is, and I mean this as respectfully as possible, the worst plan I've ever heard in my life. You're not even going out without a fight. If your conference is Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, TCU, Texas Tech, and West Virginia, you are the WAC. You're the ACC or the AAC. That's what you are. You're not getting premier coaches after that, because why would you? If I'm a top flight recruit, I'm not really interested in playing in that conference, at least not in a football aspect. KU's always going to get players, but I'm not interested in playing in that from a football standpoint. And your conference has a 0% chance of ever being in the playoff. Rob, let's say the college football goes the direction that I think you and I both think. The SEC is going to have 16 teams. I think the Big Ten is going to grab a couple of teams. I think the Pac-12 inevitably will have to grab somebody because that's just what they do. And you're sitting there and you're like, all right, well, I'm K-State. Where do I fit in this? The plan certainly isn't, hey, let's just stay where we are and let's see if we could add Houston and Cincinnati. That's a mid-major conference. What you just described is a mid-major. Because don't think that Kansas and K-State are in this together. If Kansas gets a life preserver or a life jacket, they are leaving you. Oklahoma is leaving Oklahoma State. Yo, y'all figure that out. We good. You see the Oklahoma, they got to the door, and the doorman said only one of y'all could come in. And Oklahoma was like, you know what? We're just going to go home. Like, I'm not going to leave my boy out here. Like, we both are going in the club, or none of us are going in the club. They're like, no, you figure it out. Your Harpo's is lit. I'm over here. I don't know where you're about to go, but I'm over here. K-State, Kansas will do you the exact same way. Tomorrow, if they got offered an invitation to the Big Ten, they would accept it and not really care anything that happens to you. So right now, it is a dog-eat-dog, fend for yourself. You got to figure out a way to eat out here. And part of figuring out to eat is not staying the way that you are, because that conference is a mid-major conference. And nothing wrong with being a mid-major conference. But in the new landscape and outlook on college athletics, you do not want to be a mid-major. Certainly not when the SEC is about to get to 16 and they are going to have, what, five of the top seven entities in college football? Six of the top eight? Big Ten's about to grab one of the marquee basketball programs potentially. And yeah, they'll take Iowa State. Like, yeah, all right, Iowa's here. Cool, we'll take you. Let's dominate that state. You make sense from a geographical standpoint. It's scary hours out here, man. Rob, I want to give you an opportunity before we go to the phone lines. You cheer for a team that appears to be in limbo somewhat, but I do think the KU will be fine.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same page as you. Yes, KU is in limbo because the whole Big 12 is in limbo, but this is a 48-hour-old story. I mean, of course they're in limbo. This happened, what, Wednesday? So obviously they're in limbo. Maybe it's my KU hubris, and possibly it is, but KU's basketball program is too much of a national commodity for them to be left out in the cold. I can't imagine a situation where they're in the AAC, or they're in the Mountain West, or they're in the WAC. I think they have too much brand recognition. And I said yesterday to Bink, last time the conference realignment wheel spun for better or worse, one of the big things was your TV market. Kansas City might not be a top five market. It's not a top 10 market, but it's definitely a top 40 market. And you mentioned earlier, KU dominates that market. So as a KU fan, I feel like the ground's a little shaky, but we're going to be okay. If I feel the same way, if I'm probably an Iowa State fan, because that AAU accreditation, which is a big deal to academically be able to get into the Big Ten. Oklahoma State, I feel pretty good about because money's green everywhere and Boone Pickens may have passed, but I'm pretty sure the family trust is still pumping money into Oklahoma State. I feel like KU, Oklahoma State are all on kind of equal footing and safety right now. West Virginia geographically makes sense for the ACC, so I feel like they're on relatively steady ground. If I'm a K-State fan or a Baylor fan or a Texas Tech fan or a TCU fan today, I am panicking. I am making as many phone calls as I can to get out ahead of this because those four schools appear to be the ones that we left out in the cold. Because in a world where we have four 16-team mega conferences, those are probably the four that get left out, right? The ACC will add Notre Dame and West Virginia. The Big Ten will add Kansas and Iowa State. The Pac-12 will probably gobble up, BYU and Oklahoma State and maybe Tech, maybe Baylor. And then you're looking at K-State, TCU being left out in the cold. That's a scary world if I'm a Cat fan.
Very, very scary world. Let's go to the phone lines, 913-576-7610. Joe, you called into the drive. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, thank you guys for taking my call.
No
love
problem.
Your show. On this thing, I'm not – I know everybody's saying it's a done deal, but I've read that it can't happen until 2025 unless they pay a major fine, which – they'll have the money. But my question is, doesn't the SEC, don't they have to have three quarters of the conference vote to approve this before it actually happens?
Yeah, they do. So I saw a report. It was from Pete Thamel. They believe that every team in the SEC will approve it other than Texas A&M.
You think Missouri will?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, well, we'll see, I guess, won't we, in 3 weeks?
No, we absolutely will. I appreciate it. That is Joe calling into it. So that's what I read. Now, could be true, could not be true. I do believe that the SEC will approve the admission from those two schools. If you're the SEC, I mean, you have everything. You dominate the southeastern part of the country now. I know Oklahoma doesn't fit and Texas doesn't fit in the southeastern part of the country, but I mean, if you just make that like hypothetical like line of where all the teams are, that's a strong grouping with a lot of power and a lot of money. And this is all about television viewers and eyes. Texas A&M is very popular, has a major market share. They ain't Texas, though. And if you're the SEC and you got a chance to really capitalize on that market and have the premier program in Texas, you will do that. And Oklahoma is a national football brand at this point, so you'll take Oklahoma. I thought maybe initially that we were talking about this being a pump fake and that Texas and Oklahoma were using this for leverage. But then as I thought more and more about this, once you get to this point, in the process, you ain't faking no more. This has been happening behind the scenes for quite some time, and now we're finding out about it because it's done. I fully expect next week there to be a formal, we want to join the SEC. I expect the SEC to either unanimously approve it or there'll be one team that doesn't approve it, and then it's a matter of when will Oklahoma and Texas join the SEC. It could be after this season and they're just willing to pay $60 million to get out of it because they, hey, we'll take this bath initially, but we'll be able to make this up here in the next 2 years. Or it's just kind of, all right, we're still in the Big 12, but we all know that we're leaving in 3 years. Let's enjoy the time that we have together and we're out of here once this is over. But something tells me that if it comes down to Texas being able to raise the money to do something they want to do with that donor base, they'll figure it out. If Texas doesn't want to be in the Big 12 in 2022 or beyond, they won't be in that conference anymore. They'll figure it out. between them and SEC and all the people that are financially invested in the success of the SEC, they'll figure it out. And Texas will play Alabama the first week of the season. 17 million people will watch it, and they'll make the money back. That's how this story ends. 913-576-7610. We're taking phone calls right now. Kyle, you called into the drive. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, yeah. Well, first off, I want to say what Joe said. Love you guys. Love your show.
Thank you, man.
I am a K-State fan, and like you were saying earlier, yeah, I am a little scared about it. But being a K-State fan, the thing is we always say this, we own Texas. We beat Oklahoma twice in the last 2 years, and we've beat Texas. So saying K-State fans should be scared, yes and no. It's just, I think K-State and KU need to stay together because losing two rivalries, like KU lost with Missouri 10 years ago, if we lose the K-State-KU rivalry, what's the Midwest rivalry? We're not going to have anything.
I agree with you. It certainly would appear in terms of rivalries and traditional competition and games that we've grown up with, that those are going out of the window. Now, Oklahoma and Texas are still staying together, so that's the premier rivalry in the Midwest, to your point. But if you grew up in this country, you grew up with Oklahoma, Nebraska. That is no more. And those kind of rivalries and those kind of games, Missouri, Kansas, I know they're coming back playing basketball this year, but we did see a 10-year hiatus from those games. Text line 913-576-7610. CDOT, that's what's happening. They're trying to form a smaller pro league. The kids of the elites that once played pro ball or went to big colleges will get to play college sports, and very few others will get the opportunity. I don't think the second part is what's happening. Like, I just think they're forming a smaller pro league because that's what it's been this entire time. And now the money has gotten so big, it incentivizes you to treat it this way. That's what's really happening is, we made the point earlier about television rights and how live sports is the one thing that companies will spend a lot of money on because it's the one thing that we all watch and we don't skip past the commercials. Like, people don't DVR football games at the rate that they DVR other shows. I love Law and Order. You guys know that. I rarely watch Law & Order live. Rarely. I let it get to Hulu, and then I watch it with no ads. That's how I watch Law & Order. So if you know that if you're a brand and a company and you're ESPN where your number one property is live sports, you'll spend a lot of money on it. So as the television contracts have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, there has been more of an incentive to treat it like pro sports. Let's not kid ourselves. The SEC has always been the best feeder system to the NFL. Now they're just going to act like it. I want to ask you guys this one thing, and we'll get back to your phone calls, 913-576-7610. When has college football ever looked out for the other guys? Never. Like, college football does not care about you. Basketball cares to some extent. They open the tournament up. They let 68 teams in it. We all, like, wrap our arms around Cinderella, and we love Loyola Chicago and Florida Gulf Coast, and we feel good about those teams, you know? That's not how college football has really ever been. It's always wrapped its arm around the elites, and now they're just going to be open with it. Yeah, we don't need you guys. We got the teams exactly that we want. We're going to set the conference up the way that we want. We're going to eventually break off from the NCAA and make the rules for ourselves. Why should we go through these stupid sanctions for doing the same things that everybody is doing? Like, these rules are archaic. They're dumb. They're stupid. So let's just create our own rules. Let's create our own league. Why do we need to split the pie with the NCAA? We are the entity. When you really think about the purpose of the NCAA, their biggest purpose is to run tournaments. What does the NCAA do besides run tournaments? They don't do anything. They don't do anything. The NCAA has no purpose outside of enforcing laws that most of us think are archaic and run tournaments. We can run our own tournament. Why do we need them? We can set up our own playoff independent of them. We can have our own committee to determine the playoff. We don't need them anymore. That's what we're headed towards. I'm not the only one that thinks it. Brett McMurphy thinks the same thing.
But even if the conference is going to try to stick together, and you guys are in Kansas or near Kansas, if near Lawrence, if you're Kansas and you get a call from the Big Ten, bye-bye Big 12. I mean, that's the reality. You know what? That sucks. I'm an Oklahoma State grad, so I've got, you know, some skin in this game. But if you're Kansas, you've got to take that call from the Big Ten. If you're Iowa State, you've got to take that call from the Big Ten. If you're West Virginia, absolutely, you go to the ACC. So I think it depends on if the Big Ten and the ACC reach out to those schools, then the Big 12 implodes, or they just add a bunch of Group of Five schools. If the ACC and Big Ten does not reach out to those schools, then maybe the Big 12 can stay together by either trying to get some Pac-12 schools, which personally I think is unlikely, or they just try to bulk up the membership by adding some Group of Five schools.
Okay. If that's the plan for the Big 12, if the plan for the Big 12 is we're going to lose Oklahoma and Texas, you know how we'll make that up? We'll add Houston and Cincinnati. That's a bad plan. It's a really bad plan. Texas might be the most powerful college athletic department in the country. Oklahoma's probably in the top 10. And our plan is to add Houston, baby Texas, and Cincinnati? Okay. If that's the plan, then who am I to fault it? I'm just a guy that talks on the radio for a living. What do I know? But I would say swiping out the filet mignon for the junior bacon cheeseburger from Wendy's. I mean, you're eating, but one was just a significantly better meal. Coming up on the other side, earlier today, Andy Reid met with the media. He said something fairly interesting about players being vaccinated. We'll get to that coming up, but I have a toss-up question for you guys. Rob, hit it! Let's take a look into the future here. Who do you think wins more championships, Giannis or Patrick Mahomes? Because Giannis is at one, and he is 26 years old. Mahomes has one, and he's 25 years old. Giannis has two MVPs, one Finals MVP, which is the same as Mahomes' Super Bowl MVP. He also has a Defensive Player of the Year. And we know how the NBA is set up, that right now you got to consider Giannis to be the best player in the league for all the reasons I just gave you. You can't do all those things, be 26, and now I'm arguing that James Harden's better than you. Or as much as I love KD, that KD's better than you. Right now, Giannis has the crown. He king. Rob, if we're looking forward, who wins more championships? Who has the better career, Giannis or Pat?
The answer is Patrick Mahomes, and I get that Giannis has more MVPs and et cetera, et cetera. But here's the harsh reality in pro sports. The league eventually corrects you. We've heard baseball players say it. We've heard NFL players say it. Everyone says it. There is a glaring weakness in Giannis' game. He's not a good jump shooter. Now, maybe the game is trending toward big man basketball game, but let's say it's not. Eventually, the league finds a way to exploit that major hole in his game. He might get another one, but he's not going to have 3, 4, 5. I and the league have not seen a major hole in Patrick Mahomes' game. So there's nothing for the league to exploit. So I will say Patrick Mahomes because I believe he's better at his craft than Giannis is at his. And there's no glaring hole in his game, which makes it harder for the league to expose him.
Okay. Text line 913-576-7610. Yo, how long has Travis Kelce been on NFL Network? Every time I look up during the show, he's just on there. He just did a 2-hour-long interview with him, or they just keep reshowing the same one? Am I the only one that's seen this?
It's Travis Kelce, by the way.
No, he's Travis Kelce to me. I ain't calling that man. That man's name is Travis Kelce. Maybe I'm just tripping, but every time I've looked up at the television, Travis Kelce has been on. This is the moment I sat down. 913-576-7610. I want to know a toss-up. Who do you think wins more championships moving forward, Giannis or Patrick Mahomes? I have a good feeling what the text line will say, but I'm still curious to read it anyway. We'll read your text coming up on the other side. And Andy Reid said today that 90% of the Chiefs were vaccinated. He had an interesting answer about the 10 who aren't. And there's one fairly obvious point about being vaccinated and being a football player that no one wants to make, so I'll make it. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Rob and I argued about something basically most of the afternoon. We included Sean Barber in our argument. We'll have that argument coming up in about 10 minutes. It's also been a long time since I've read Sammy Watkins' tweets, and I just miss it, so I want to read it. And we'll do that coming up in a little bit as well. But right now, I would say the top story in the NFL is players being vaccinated. Without going too much into details, the NFL has basically created a do it or don't system. And the do it is basically your life goes back to what it was before. The don't is a pretty bad option. Rob, one team let a coach go today because he didn't want to be vaccinated. So the NFL is taking it very seriously on whether you are vaccinated or not. So today, Andy Reid met with the media. He was asked a very good question after the team announced that they're over 90%. So there are certain thresholds you need to meet as a team in order to somewhat operate as normal. The Chiefs are now over that threshold. They're good. But the question was asked of him, and I believe it was from Nate Taylor, who is now part of the team, roll with the winners. There's 90% that are vaccinated. What do you tell the 10% who don't want to be vaccinated? Here was Andy Reid's message.
Yeah, listen, I don't have anything to say one way or the other with the 10%. They know the guys that have been vaccinated and haven't been vaccinated. They know all the coaches have been. So it's not anything that I'm hoping that they all stay safe. That's what I hope. And that they don't get the virus. And that's most important in my eyes. However it's done, let's keep people safe. And that's where I'm at.
So that was Andy Reid earlier today. I haven't heard anybody just say what the obvious is. Some players are good enough to not be vaccinated. They'll have to live with the rules and the regulations, but they're good enough. You want to know why Cole Beasley is doing all the talking that he's doing? He was all pro last year. I'm not saying it's right that he's not vaccinated. He's an adult. He can make that choice for himself. But Cole Beasley is almost defiant in I'm not taking the vaccine because Cole Beasley is one of the good players in the league. DeAndre Hopkins yesterday communicated how he didn't want to be vaccinated. DeAndre Hopkins is a future Hall of Fame receiver. If he doesn't want to be vaccinated, it doesn't really mean that much for the team because they'll figure it out because he's important enough. Albert Breer tweeted this out, and I thought it was very straightforward. The NFL knew that there were four players who were vaccinated. are, there are four groups of people regarding their feelings against the vaccine. There's people who are going to take it. Rob and I, we were on an NFL team. We fit into that group. The moment they told me that it was available, I was going to figure out a way to get it. Rob was the exact same. The moment he realized that he could walk to CVS and go get the vaccine, he was going to do it. There's some players that fit in that category. For whatever reason, they feel the way that they feel. They determine, I'm going to go get vaccinated. There's then a third group of players. Players who didn't want to take the vaccine, but then saw the rules. Yo, this stinks. All the vaccinated players get to do all of this kind of stuff. I don't get to do any of that. I don't want to take the vaccine, but my life would be a lot easier if I just took it. So, okay. That's a large group of players, I would guess. Hey, for whatever reason, I don't want to take it, but it's in the best interest of the team. It's in the best interest of my personal day-to-day life, so I'll do it. There's some guys like Cole Beasley that just are not going to take it. Under any circumstances, I don't see them taking the COVID-19 vaccine. Their life's going to be kind of miserable, at least for this season. Maybe after this year, they change the rules. Maybe they change the rules during the season. But then there's another group of people. And this is the group that I think the NFL is leaning on the most. And I think I saw DeAndre Hopkins say this. There are some players who don't have a choice. Cole Beasley has a choice. I'm an all-pro guy. I'm not getting released because I don't want to take the vaccine. I can be as open and outspoken against it as I want to. They're not releasing me. Or if they did, I would just easily find another team. There are some guys, and Rob, I want you to chime in on this. There's some guys who probably feel pretty adamantly, I'm not taking it. But if you're a fifth round pick or a sixth round pick or a guy on the fringe, and let's not kid ourselves, they are way more of those guys in the NFL than Cole Beasley's in the NFL. Anytime there's a labor dispute, they tell us about the great divide between the haves and the have-nots. Sure, there's guys like Mahomes who have made generational wealth. There's guys like Aaron Rodgers. There's way more Marcus Kemps in the league. Way more DeMarcus Robinsons. Those guys don't have a choice. How you get to the 80% is you lean on those people. And if you don't want to be vaccinated, we'll simply find another you. It's that simple. It sucks. I also would say that's life. And I think that's the part that the NFL is leaning on the most. There's some people who are always going to take it. There's some people who I would say the NFL has put into a box. Cole Beasley's not taking it. Like, we're not going to waste our time trying to convince Cole Beasley to take it. But there is a large group of people that either fit in one of two groups. They hate all the protocols and just let's get it over with. Give me the Johnson & Johnson. I'll take it and let's just go on with my life. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Or then there's some players, younger players, guys like, for example, Darwin Thompson. He ain't got a choice. Darwin Thompson ain't walking around that team unvaccinated. Just, he's not. He might not make the team anyway. You really don't have a choice if now you want to stray from the nest. Hey, the team is doing this. That's what we've decided as a team. We decided that 90% of us are taking it. You're part of the 10%. You ain't good enough to be part of the 10%. So they'll never get 100% ever. Not everybody in the league will take it. They'll keep getting more and more people to do it once we start getting closer to cuts and you start realizing, yo, I might not make this team. I'm on the fringe. What could be the difference between me making and missing this team could be me getting vaccinated. It's time for me to go do it. That's what I think gets this over the hump where every team's going to get over the number that they need to be at.
And for all the huffing and puffing that mostly Bills players have done and DeAndre Hopkins about the vaccine, the NFL's plan is working. According to Albert Breer, the chief medical officer of the NFL, Alan Sills, had a conference call. Here's what he said on the conference call. 80% of all the players in the NFL vaccinated. There are nine teams, nine, the Chiefs included, that are over the 90% threshold. There are only five of the 32 teams that are under 70%. Because I believe what you're saying, and it's the harsh reality of the world. If you're Darwin Thompson, you're fighting for a job against Jerick McKinnon, and it comes down to cut day, and the Chiefs are like, oh, they're basically the same. Their contracts are pretty similar. Which way are we going to go? And McKinnon is vaccinated and Darwin isn't, or vice versa, because it's a hypothetical. You're probably cutting the unvaccinated player because that could lead to an outbreak on your team, which could lead to a forfeit. And a forfeit is something that most teams are just not going to let happen because you're going to lose that money at the gate and you're going to lose the game. You're going to lose the playoff standing moments and the players don't get their paycheck, their game check. We saw that from Tom Pelissero yesterday. So the system, you can like it or dislike it, but the NFL system is working. Guys are getting vaccinated because they realize, hey, I'm fighting for a job today. And if I'm fine for a job, I'm not going to get cut because the other guy did something I could have done just as easy.
913-576-7610. I don't care how good a player is at his sport. That doesn't protect you or others from getting sick and possibly dying. Again, I am not advocating for not taking the vaccine. I got vaccinated in March. I encourage my friends to be vaccinated. I do the vaccine promos. I am as pro-vaccine as one can be. I just live in the real world. I live in America. I understand that some of you have very different feelings on the vaccine. Some of you are not ever going to take the vaccine. There's nothing I can do about that. I can lead you to the same place that I led to and try to tell you until you blew in the face. I'm just telling you that we also live in the same country, that we know some people, the rules are different. I know he's vaccinated, but let's use this as an example. If Patrick Mahomes said, I'm not being vaccinated, what's the Chiefs' recourse? What are they doing? No, you're not playing? What's their recourse? Some players are good enough to have the stance that they have. DeAndre Hopkins is good enough to have that stance. If you've noticed it, there ain't really been a whole lot of fringe players been talking spicy about the vaccine because they know the deal. I'm the 47th man on this roster. I don't get to have an opinion about this. I don't. I'm not good enough to have an opinion about this. That's the group that the NFL will continue to convince. As we get more and more into training camp, and guys start to realize their place on the roster, they will get more and more players to get vaccinated because A, they'll either hate the restrictions that they've put on them, and they have put a lot of restrictions on players who don't want to be vaccinated, or you ain't making the team. An NFL team fired a coach today because he didn't want to do it. It's fired him outright. It was his first season with the team. You gone. Be gone. We don't want you here. That will happen with players. They might not announce it. That will happen with players. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I'm here once again standing up for another brother in need. 913-576-7610. A couple of days ago, I told you guys about our brother Ben Zobrist. Ben Zobrist is in a deal with the devil. His wife was out philandering around, sleeping with her pastor slash therapist. Now Ben Zobrist might potentially owe her 50%. Plus a trade exception of $4 million. I feel bad for him. He doesn't deserve that. Ben Zobrist is a good guy. There's another brother in need, Rob. And this time it is Dr. Dre. Arguably the greatest hip-hop producer of all time. He has been forced to pay his wife $3.5 million a year in spousal support. Now, I want to be clear here so you guys can understand. Dr. Dre and his ex-wife, Nicole, have children. These kids are grown. It's not like they have like a six-year-old that's like, all right, I get it, you know? They have grown children. Notice, Rob, this is not child support he is paying. He is paying spousal support. Spousal support. I looked this up because I was curious. I really wanted to know for myself. Now, I understand that this is a little bit skewed because of bonuses and signing bonuses and all of those things. Based on the $3.5 million that Dr. Dre is legally to pay this woman, Nicole Young, Rob, she would be the fifth highest paid member of the Kansas City Chiefs. In terms of base salary, the only players on the Chiefs who have a higher base salary than this woman are Kelce, Hitchens, Matthew, and Clark. This is criminal. I can't sit here and allow this system to chew up good brothers. Ben Zobrist, not only is his ex-wife asking for half after she was the one that was out hooking and crooking, she wants a $4 million bonus on top of it. Dr. Dre and this woman, for whatever reason, their relationship hadn't worked out. She now needs $3.5 million a year for support. 3.5, Rob? She can't go get a job? Correct me if I'm wrong. She didn't produce The Chronic, did she? She didn't produce Nothing Was a G Thang. When they said forgot about Dre, they were talking about Andre Young, not Nicole Young, right? How is she entitled to not just like a one-time payout? You know, like, all right, you know what? Things didn't work out. We had a good run. Let me give you some Beats headphones, and I'll go ahead and throw you this 4 milli, and let's just call it good. She's got a Bobby Bonilla deal? Who's her lawyer? Who is this woman's lawyer? This is criminal. When they say land of opportunity, this isn't what they meant. We got to start standing up for these brothers, Rob. Ben Zobrist, I support you. Dr. Dre, I support you. $3.5 million a year in spousal support is wild, bro. It's wild. She don't need all that, man.
She had become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. He has to maintain her lifestyle, right? We read that story earlier this year that she was seeking this because she had accustomed herself to the lifestyle based on his money, which makes this even bigger nonsense to me.
She needs to be accustomed to a new way of life.
It's called working.
Yeah, she needs to be accustomed to doing something different.
It's called punching the clock. Get a 9-to-5. $3.5 million.
Come on now. I'm not saying that she's not deserving of any money.
Yeah, no, she deserves something.
I'm not saying that. But he has to pay, starting August 1st, he owes her $300,000 a month. I don't care how much money you have. When 300K is coming out of the direct deposit, that gotta hurt. That gotta hurt. You thinking of all the stuff you could have bought with that? And she hits you for the 300,000 a month? Brothers, I feel for you. It's a dirty game out here. It is a dirty game. He got to give her 3 mil a year. He also has to pay expenses on both of her homes. And he got to pay for her health insurance. And Rob, what makes this really sad is he got off easy. Her lawyer was asking for $2 million a month. $2 million a month. What kind of lifestyle do you need where you need $2 million a month to upkeep it? What are you doing? This is criminal.
I'm trying to think how I would spend $300K a month, especially if you're not paying insurance. Like, what are you spending that on?
I don't know, man.
Get a normal car. I know that's not the lifestyle. Get a normal car. Car payment ain't going to hurt you. Get a normal home. Home payment ain't going to hurt you. Your kids are grown. They might need a little petty cash here and there, but you can just make them ask dad. Like, what is happening where she needs $300K a month?
My grandmother used to listen to this old blues record. Maybe some of you have heard it. I think it was by this guy named Johnny Walker. It was called Cheaper to Keeper. But at $3 million... a year. We got to make it work. Go live on the other wing of the house. We got to have like a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air situation where you go live in the pool house, bro. Come on now. I'm already paying for your lifestyle out here. I couldn't follow you on anything. I couldn't follow you on Instagram, Facebook. I know we got kids together. Can you imagine you pay somebody that amount of money and then you go on their Instagram page and they took some other dude out to eat and you paid the bill for it? I'd be heated, bro. I'd be heated. This ain't right, man. We got to fight the system. Fellas, brothers, we got to unite. Because let me tell you one thing. The women in our lives are united. They are united on this front. They are united. They are a team when it comes to this. They have it figured out. Woman asked for $2 million a month. She was asking for Jimmy Garoppolo's deal every year she needed. She didn't make the Chronic. She didn't make Doggy Style. She didn't make any of that stuff. Now she needed. Fooey. I'm here to fight for you guys. That's why I'm here. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to talking about the Kansas City Chiefs as, are we saying today's the official start of training camp? Today's like pitchers and catchers reporting. Tuesday's the official start of training camp.
You should have seen Bink yesterday. He kept calling it Camp Eve.
Mahomes is there, but not everybody else is there. He's not throwing the ball to Noah Gray. You know Mahomes is trying to get through these next couple of days. He's like, I don't know why I'm here. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.